IPE@WU Analysis, the podcast by students of the Institute for International Political Economy.
Welcome, dear listeners, to another enlightening episode of Decoding Decisions. Today we embark on a journey into the economic landscapes of two South American nations, Chile and Uruguay. Together with two experts, we'll explore a puzzle that unveils the intricacies of decisions in the primary sector. So, before we delve into the puzzle, let's set the stage. As we know, both Chile and Uruguay share democratic republics, Spanish-speaking populations, significant contribution from agriculture to the GDP. However, their approaches to foreign investment in the primary sector differ. Chile is known for its market-oriented policies, imposes restrictions, particularly in mining, while Uruguay welcomes foreign investments with open arms. So, to shed light on this puzzle, we're honored to have Vitus, an esteemed expert in Chilean economics, and Chelsea, a leading authority on Uruguay's political landscape. Welcome both.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I will quickly explain what the FDI restrictions in Chile actually are in the primary sector.
I would say before we do that, could you briefly give us some context on why this is important, why listeners should be intrigued by this puzzle? One of you.
Such a great question. As an expert within this landscape and really loving foreign direct investment, I encourage everyone to gain a better understanding of it. Foreign direct investment is so important for helping economies innovate, helping broaden economies and diversify them, and creating employment opportunities that may not have existed without the money in flowing into a country. So learning more about this area is very interesting, and delving into different case studies, just like our Chilean Uruguay one, is excellent for our listeners.
So yeah, I totally agree on that. So you already mentioned the case study. We have two very similar settings for the countries, but yet so different strategies when it comes to foreign direct investment. So Vitus, now to you. Let's begin with Chile. Can you provide some context on the decisions the Chilean government made regarding the foreign direct investment restrictions, especially in the primary sector?
Well, yes, of course. Thank you for the quick introduction. As we probably all know, Chile has earned a reputation for making it easy and transparent for investors to enter its market. And the country boasts an investment agency with multiple offices worldwide, which makes it quite a seamless process to invest in the country. But however, when we shift our focus to the primary sector, the landscape becomes a bit more intricate. So at first glance, Chile seems to have no real or direct restrictions on foreign direct investment. However, when we zone in on the primary sector, particularly in areas like mining and fishing, we encounter specific challenges that investors should be aware of. But let's dive right into it. One major hurdle is the permitting process, especially in the industries like mining. The regulatory procedures are not only complex, but also time-consuming, and successfully navigating this requires an expert guidance from the investment office of one of their offices around the world. And another significant factor is the constitutional control the Chilean state exercises over mineral, hydrocarbon, and fossil fuel deposits. The government actually holds the authority to grant concession rights to foreign companies. And this basically means that the FDI is welcome, but it must align with the state's strategic interests and the regulatory frameworks. If we can compare it to the fishing industry, another primary sector of Chile, the foreign ownership here is not allowed. And it just illustrates how certain sectors have more stringent restrictions than others. And this aligns with Chile's commitment to preserve and maintain control over its natural resources, as I already said. So, to sum it up, while Chile maintains an overall investor-friendly environment, the primary sector specifically does present unique challenges, and the permitting process, constitutional controls, and the industry-specific restrictions may demand careful consideration for those looking to invest in areas like mining and fishing.
So basically, it's in the constitution that in some industries, foreign direct investment is not even allowed, or at least to some percentage of ownership. And not only that, it's also very complicated and time-consuming to enter a market as a foreign, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're 100% right.
Interesting. All right, Chelsea, what about Uruguay?
You're absolutely right in saying that Uruguay welcomes foreign investment with open arms. Looking into our investment and foreign direct investment climate, we can really see that historically we've always been open to investment. Back in 1998, Uruguay opened up a law called Law Number 16906, which declared that promotion and protection of investments made by national and foreign investments are in the nation's interests. And it pretty much allowed companies from national or foreign to invest within the country without having to jump through hoops or red tape. Pretty much, you want to invest, go for it, no permission needed. Now, usually governments throw a bunch of rules at foreign investments, but not in Uruguay. They want as much investment as possible to come and flow within the nation. This is represented through having a lot of bilateral trade agreements within the nation. There's about 30 of them between different nations. And there's also a lot of free trade zones within the country. There's 11 scattered around. Uruguay is also a founding member of the Mercosur Group, which is the Southern Cone Common Market created in 1991, which involves Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay, which is pretty much a group of trade within South America that facilitates more trade within the regions, but also foreign direct investment. So you can see a lot of policies and a lot of thought has gone into Uruguay's decision-making process to allow as much foreign direct investment into the nation as possible.
Interesting. So we have two different strategies, one being very restrictive, especially in the primary sector, and the other one, the Uruguayan government, really stressing the importance of foreign direct investment in order to grow economically. So what could be like reasons behind that? Any explanations? Vitos, what's your perspective on Chile's decision to go with a very restricted approach?
Well, we can divide that basically into three main reasons for the restrictiveness of the Chilean government. One definitely is being the protection of the strategic industries. So basically the government's identified the key sectors which are crucial for the economic stability, such as especially mining and natural resources in Chile. And by limiting the foreign influence in these areas, the nation aims to safeguard their core economic pillars to make the economy stable. And this also connects to job security and economic stability overall. Another reason can be like the preservation of natural resources. The countries want to ensure the sustainable management of their own resources and to prevent the overexploitation of foreign firms and countries, and to maintain their control over their valuable assets, which is quite logic. And this is particularly crucial in industries which are tied to the extraction and utilization of natural resources, such as, for example, mining and fishing. So exactly those primary industries. And the last reason would be that the governments may also limit foreign direct investments in those industries with a significantly high environmental impact. And this is driven by a commitment to environmental protection, which we see around the world right now. And they want to ensure the adherence to the standards of sustainable practices. By controlling such foreign direct investment in such sectors which are environmentally impactful, the nation seeks to limit the potential environmental risks.
So overall, the approach is maybe explained in the thoughts of, hey, this is our main income, the export of our primary sector. We don't want to risk not controlling it.
It's about risk aversion, yes.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. What about Uruguay, Jersey?
Uruguay is actually really different from Chile. Whilst a lot of our economy centres around the primary sector, it's not about mining. Uruguay, the majority of our exports include like bovine meat, animals and soybeans and milk. It's all based in agricultural industry. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why we're so open to foreign direct investment. We recognize that it's pretty easy, low barriers to entry to enter into an agricultural economy. We want to move past that. We want to build a bigger nation and a better nation. So by allowing foreign direct investment, it allows us to step out of that and innovate towards something better. Along with foreign direct investment, it brings other benefits to the country, such as employment opportunities and transfer of technology. It allows us to move past being just primary producers, being just an agricultural nation. We want to innovate, we want to industrialize, we want to become something better, and I think FDI definitely facilitates that.
All right, thank you for the insights. Let's just break it down real quick, Vitos, 1-2 question. What's the main driver in your opinion, what's the main driver behind the decisions of the government?
Well, in my eyes, the natural resources make the biggest differences in whether a government is FDI restrictive or not. If one country, like Chile, for example, has natural resources, is big in it, especially like copper, then it's probably the probability of being restrictive against FDI is higher than it is with countries who are not having any natural resources.
Yeah, Chelsea, what about Uruguay? What's the main reason?
I think the main reason in comparing countries of why they would have FDI restrictions or not would be their willingness to innovate and their willingness to have technology transferred into their country. I think that's probably the main contributing reason to the difference between Chile and Uruguay.
So you both heard the opposing countries. Do you think they align with the economic strategy overall? What would you say about Uruguay, Vitos?
In most ways, I would agree with what Chelsea just said, because it makes sense that an innovative country attracts more FDI or is more positive to FDI than
relies more on it.
Yeah, definitely relies on it. But I think it's not that strong of an argument as what mine just was. I think mine is stronger because it's the basic characteristic of a country and not how it changes over time. Or what would you say, Jesse?
I think I can agree with your point, because natural resources and sovereignty over that is definitely really important for your nation. Whereas our nation, like Uruguay, like anyone can do what we're doing. We don't need to protect our nation from other countries coming in and stealing our resources, because that can already happen. We want to be comparatively advantaged through other means and routes. So I think you're on the right track there.
So Vitos, one last thing. Do you think the hypothesis we made here in this short little podcast, are they generally applicable to a wider range of nations, or is it more specific to only a few countries?
No, absolutely not. I think it's widely applicable to every country which is big in natural resources. And I think every country who is big in natural resources gets restrictive when it comes to FDI. So we can see that on other countries as well.
I'm afraid at this point we have to cut it. Our time has come to an end. I thank you both for sharing your expertise. And for you listeners out there, if you agree or disagree, if you have any feedback for us, you know our email address for the podcast. Just feel free to write us something. Bye.
more information? Visit the Institute for International Political Economy at www.wu.ac.at/IPE. You will find podcasts analyzing current events, TikTok videos defining key concepts, and courses explaining the world.